to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
We're going to be covering Upstairs, Downstairs, Season 2, Episode 1, A Faraway Country About Which We Know Nothing.
And you know the other thing say about which we know nothing? Like how drunk we're going to get in Season 2. Because I gotta tell you, people.
We need it.
This season makes me feel a little like Prichard at the end.
No spoilers, Heather.
Oh, there are going to be spoilers. No. And I was going to get to that because caveats are coming. We've got caveats, which include that there will be spoilers. Surprise!
We have been drinking. Surprise!
That, well, and we
are still
going to be cursing. Oh, yes, there's going to be cursing. And we are having things to drink this time. I'm actually going to announce this one. We are having fairy tale, not fairy tale.
Wedding cuvée. Clearly you can't.
Wedding cuvée from Iron Horse. It was really, really, really tasty.
And shout out way, Iron Horse.
We love you, Iron Horse. And so, this season. Man.
And I prefaced a little bit last episode. However, if you were not there for that, this season takes the characters, looks at them, and is like, how can I ruin them?
It's kind of like
how can I make them do the most uncharacteristic thing?
Yeah.
And for some characters, it's a step in the right direction, like people like Agnes, or
but for some characters,
but for
it's
other
not
characters,
like
we're
Maude.
Going really, really
because Maude just dies.
Spoiler alert! Anyway, but I think that they looked at especially their protagonists and were like, how can I make this person worse? And for some of them, they were already in that trajectory in the first place. And in others, sadly, they were in an opposite trajectory for the last season.
Well, and you still have hope for them.
Yeah, I held out hope throughout season 2, and I was disappointed.
Hey, you held out hope throughout season 1 that Agnes was going to be good in season 1, and she's just really
she's not. But
she gets a little bit better at the end.
But she does, it's because of everything else shit. Yes. You know? Yes. Alright, so let's begin.
Agnes has just had another baby.
Yeah.
It's September of 1938.
She's in a hospital.
You see that Hallam is discussing the Prime Minister is Chamberlain at this point
Neville Chamberlain
with his boss, and Hallam is supposed to go to meet Chamberlain's plane. He's been in Germany for negotiations some more, and he shows up there, and the Duke of Kent hops in his car to say hey.
Uh-huh.
And they have a little bit of a chat. And Kent says that the war, you know, we can't have war. War won't be allowed. It's like, that's really not a thing. Hallam says that he is not okay with peace at any price, which is how he feels like Chamberlain is leaning.
Uh-huh.
Agnes then checks herself out of the hospital. This is all intercut. It is weird, and I've got
the pacing is god awful.
It is horrible. The pacing of the show, and I bitched about this on The Crown. Some like they would have montages intercut with other montages, and you know early on some of the montages had similar themes, so you could see why they were intercutting them. But much like later seasons of The Crown, some of these montages, like what the fuck does that have to do with anything else? It makes no sense.
I always think back to Dickie in a bath with hounds for no goddamn reason.
Other than it's Charles Dance. But
I mean, we love Charles Dance. So what the fuck was that?
Right. Or, you know, they had a bunch of them, like one with the art thing versus, never mind. This is stupid. There will be a bunch more in this season that will irritate us. But then we go to the now is Nazi time waltz.
Okay, the waltz that is the intro song.
It's
hysterical. So Prichard is practicing for air raids. He's like a volunteer person who's going to sound the alarm if an air raid
he has
comes.
A rattle.
He does.
Like a baby.
They have a new kitchen maid named Eunice. No more Ivy. Thank God, honestly.
You did not miss Ivy at
no.
all.
No. And I will say that some of the people downstairs take a turn for the better. But
yeah,
I
much prefer Ivy as Mira as opposed
to. Of course we do.
So that's what she's off doing.
Anyway. Rose is sick and not working at the moment. Rose being the housekeeper. The maid, Maud, sorry, it said maid in my phone.
Maud's dead.
Maud is dead, and Mr. Amanji puts her ashes on the mantle next to her husband's ashes. Yes. Her half sister Blanche, who we never met before, is there and asks if they were ever lovers, and he says no.
Yeah, like, no.
Blanche plans to stay at Eaton Place because, I don't know, reasons.
It's echoes of Maud. So Blanche is Maud's sister,
half-sister,
whatever. And she is played by, oh my gosh, I'm having a blank, but she's in Discovery of Witches.
Okay.
The step-parents, whatever. But you will see as this goes along, it's a great performance. Blanche,
I'm not saying that.
Blanche is an interesting addition to this group, but she has Maud-like tendencies, some of which are good and some of which are bad.
I feel like she's kind of not like Maud at all. She has different ways of her Maudness coming out, kind of like a Percy and an Agnes. They both have similar tendencies, but it comes out in different ways, one more palatable than others.
I don't know that either of them is palatable, but still.
Either way, whatever. A new girl shows up, and her name's Beryl. She's going to be a nursemaid, maid under the nanny, essentially.
She is gorgeous.
She is gorgeous. Agnes returns home and introduces Hector, their son, to the baby. He's about, like, three now. It's 1938. Mm-hmm. Pritchard gives Beryl her new uniforms, and Hallam comes home.
Oh, we find out too that Miss Buck is in a sand. She's in hospital. Yeah, like we find out later she's got TB, so she's going to be out for most of the season, is what it seems like.
Yes. Hallam comes home and says Chamberlain thinks he can reason with Hitler, but he says the house should prepare for war anyway.
Yes.
Hallam wants Blanche to leave. He's talking to Agnes about it. But he's more concerned about Agnes and her health because she nearly died in childbirth. Her and the baby did because it was a C-section.
Well, and she was a
premature preemie. Baby.
And so they are very, very cute together. He's very protective and
very
sweet.
Sweet.
We like it.
We do like it. Eunice is afraid for the war, but it's freaking out Beryl, who's sharing a bed with her, and she's like, please shut up.
One of the things that comes up when Eunice is talking is about gas. And at that point, Beryl's like, I can't talk about it. I can't talk about it. So, mm-hmm. But they move on from that.
Pamela, if you don't remember Pamela, she is Hallam's mentally disabled sister. She comes by because the asylum has been sanctioned by the government, and so she's been kicked out for a little while.
Yeah, they got requisitioned.
Mm-hmm. Thackeray, Miss Thackeray the cook, and Eunice go to get gas masks and helmets for the household, and Pritchard is in charge there. He gets them their gas masks.
Even though not everybody, everyone's supposed to come themselves and mm-hmm. check in, and he kind of skirts all of the roles for them
because he has to.
Right. So Hallam's office is arranging another summit between Chamberlain and Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
And Hallam wants to go, but they aren't going to let him go because they all know that Hallam is aligned with Churchill and with Anthony Eden. And they're like, yeah, no, you're going in the wrong direction. And that's what his boss is telling him. It's like, because he's basically like, we can't concede to Hitler. Blanche is basically psychoanalyzing Pamela's grief. It's really kind of
She works for the London Museum.
The British Museum. British Museum. So she's an anthropologist,
yes.
Not archaeologist.
I think archaeologist.
I think she's archaeologist. But because she's aligned with some sciences, she thinks that she knows everything about everything. And so she wants to psychoanalyze Pamela's grief for her dead mother.
And she's channeling it into love for the monkey.
And so we see a lot of monkey
for now. Yep. Percy sent flowers from Berlin that Agnes had to pay for. Agnes wants Hallam to track down Percy and persuade her to come home. Why? I mean, like, I know why, safety reasons, but I wish she would die. Pritchard got Agnes a gas-proof pram, which essentially just
is a gas coffin. Well, also, it looks like a fucking coffin.
It does, but also a gas-proof pram. Wouldn't that also be oxygen-proof pram?
It's possible. It looks like a coffin with a little chimney on it.
Essentially. It's not looking good.
It's got a little, like, glass window so the baby can see you and recognize faces. Jesus, like, this seems like a really poor idea.
Horrible. Agnes faints and talks to Johnny about, and when she comes to, she talks with Johnny about how he was premature as well. The baby girl, Veronica, is the baby's name. And yes, she's adorable.
She is.
She has trouble with her lungs because they weren't fully developed in your utero.
And so Agnes is really scared.
About
gas. Because there was a lot in World War I. There was a lot of gas used. And so they're very afraid.
They should be. Beryl cleans the pram, but is concerned that it would suffocate the baby, you know? Right. Valid.
She's having that conversation with Johnny. And yeah. Johnny, because he's Johnny, gets the bright idea that he's going to put the monkey in it as a test. Listen, this is then, early animal testing.
And then fill the garage with carbon monoxide. Johnny. I understand the idea. I'm glad you didn't test it out on the baby. However, that was a monkey. Leave the monkey alone.
It's a live thing. And of course he does this and the monkey does not breathe anymore.
That's a delicate way of putting it. He fucking dies. And then Fargo comes in and stops it after a few minutes. And
Right, so it's been less than 5 minutes. It's like, wow, that gas thingy would not have helped at all. No.
Pritchard tries to resuscitate the monkey, but it's dead. His breath has ceased.
Shock the monkey. Sorry.
What the fuck are you talking about?
It is a Peter Gabriel song. No. It's about animal tests.
Okay. They need to keep it a secret from the family, Mr. Amanjeet and Miss Thackeray, who are not there at the moment. The Duke of Kent meets Veronica and will be her godfather. Agnes is worried about Hallam's career, and so does the Duke. Meanwhile, Spargo and Johnny are digging trenches and are concerned about the war. There's a lot of concern about the war, obviously.
Right. A lot of people are getting conscripted to do things that are outside of their regular work. And obviously the servants get stuck doing a lot of this shit.
Most of it. Rose has TB and is in a sanitarium. Pamela, that's all. Yes. Pamela, that's the only time we hear about Rose in a while. So, you know.
Yeah.
She used to be my character. Fuck it. Pamela sneaks down to the servants' hall in the middle of the night. And then a police officer knocks on the door in the middle of the night as well, saying someone reported him.
Just a little bit, because there are a couple of things that you kind of skipped over.
Okay, good.
With this whole thing with the monkey, Beryl notes that the monkey's lips are like bright pink, and she's like, well, that's a sure sign of carbon monoxide poison. He's like,
how do you know that?
Yeah, how do you know? What? So everyone kind of thinks, So Pamela, the police show up. She had made a report that there was a murder. Mm-hmm. And the police officer was like, oh, clear signs of carbon monoxide poisoning. That's you know, animal cruelty or whatever it is that he wants to call it. And eventually Pritchard takes the blame for this, and the cop takes Pritchard in.
Mm-hmm.
He actually makes a good excuse for like why it happened. He's trying to test out new equipment and all of the stuff, and Helen's kind of like, you know, I think he's got a good reason for doing it, but the cop takes him in anyway. Pritchard apparently has an old arrest on his record. He was jailed in 1917.
For 5 months.
For 5 months for being a conscientious objector. And so the cop just kind of leaves him in a cell for a while because that's a thing.
Because he was once a conscientious objector, right, even though he's doing a lot of stuff now to kind of make amends for that.
Right, but he thinks like Pritchard, the cop, feels like Pritchard's been kind of lording stuff over other people, when in fact, you know, like you didn't do your duty like the rest of us. Yeah. And so we cut to Hallam, and we find out that Hitler is not giving in. He is not conceding anything in these talks. Hallam is still trying to find Percy. He's still calling Germany, whatever. Mr. Amanjeet is upset that Blanche is taking over Maud's old office. And Hallam and Mr. Amanjeet talk about it, because Hallam gets home and he's like, you know, trying to have a conversation with Blanche, and everyone's complaining to each other. And he and Mr. Amanjeet talk, and he tells Mr. Amanjeet, like, I trust you, and he gives him his gun. because he realizes that Amanjeet served and was wounded at the Battle of Ebra in World War I. He kind of deputizes Amanjeet to protect his family if he's unable to do so. We see that Spargo and Beryl are connecting over like lesser, yeah, things that seem lesser, like Beryl can clean his fingernails off and stuff like that.
Because but they're flirting.
That's they're nice. Flirting, and she's got, you know, experience as a beautician or whatever.
But I think that moment's a little bit later. I think she's just cleaning up the nappies now.
Mm.
But Prichard is bailed out by Mr. Amanjeet and the family, I suppose. The servants are upset.
Yeah, so Amanjeet found out about Prichard's prior when he goes to pick him up from the jail. And so he's pissed because he was wounded at the war. Miss Thackeray's husband died. And so they're all really, really upset that Prichard didn't do his duty, and he's been running around acting like, oh, I'm so patriotic, right? Yeah. And so they're kind of pissed off about it.
Also, Helm's boss is sending him to Germany for final negotiations. The Duke of Kent and Helm talk about the negotiations happening. He wants Helm to deliver a letter from him to Hitler, but Helm refuses, even if it damages his career.
It's an appeasement letter. It is we don't want war kind of thing. And from the Duke of Kent, that carries more weight than it would with from other people. And Helm's right. Like, I'm not doing that shit. That is not my mandate. I'm not here to take your personal fucking note. And I really respect him for that.
No, that is right. So Hallam goes to Germany. Also, Hallam, when he gets home, apologizes to Prichard about the police stuff, and his private opinions are his own, which is great.
And good. Prichard has a good quote at this point. What he says is that, in my experience, when you follow your conscience, it's other people who get hurt, not you.
Mm-hmm.
Or their feelings get hurt. And Hallam's like,
also measuring
the servants are the servants are still pissed at Prichard anyway, so
yeah. Things are tense downstairs because of the coward stuff, to the point where they can't even have dinner together. Mr. Amanjeet does some target practice in the middle of the day in a neighborhood
because he's fucking pissed.
Yes, but come on, man.
That's true.
I'm a little tact.
Agnes, though, break it up. And they're like, stop it.
Agnes makes him give her the gun. Prichard tells Agnes that he was raised a Quaker and spoke out about the conditions of the prison where conscientious objectors were held. And he realized he kind of held some similar beliefs to them about the war. And so that's why he was imprisoned with them. Chamberlain is editing the terms of negotiation because he wants Hitler to accept it, even though it wouldn't get troops out, essentially out of England. It would
it wasn't. That so
okay then I you raise
so you. Hallam wants to hold strong, but at this point Hitler's troops are on the verge of annexing the Sudetenland, which you may be familiar with. This is a major issue. Mm-hmm. And Hallam's like, no, you can't sign off on that. You can't say that's okay because otherwise we're making concessions. But Chamberlain then goes ahead and does it. Well, it's what Hitler wants. And we've got
he
to have
this is what he wants. So yeah, let's just give him what he like, wants.
That doesn't mean it make it okay. And so Chamberlain is making concessions. Helm's furious. Agnes, meanwhile, is giving
Not in England. I meant the Sudetenland.
Yeah, anyway. I'm sorry. Go ahead. So Agnes is giving this, let's all be a good team because the war is coming speech downstairs.
I mean, come on, yeah.
Yeah. This is the point where Beryl does the boys' nails and
a house divided cannot stand.
Yes.
Anyway, Beryl is helping Spargo clean his nails, and she used to work for a salon and was training to be a beautician, and she wants to pursue that, like an apprenticeship or something, but she needs to get money to afford it.
Right.
And that's why she's a maid. She mentions that her mother died and it was not ruled a suicide, but her head was mostly in the oven.
And she's like,
mm-hmm. So she's seen someone die of carbon monoxide.
Which is why she recognized him.
Yes. Hallam goes to a bar and sees Percy is there.
A bar in Germany.
A bar, yeah, because Hallam's in Germany.
Right.
He goes to a bar and sees Percy is there, God forbid, and talks to her. We're going to go really quickly through this, mother. It's like ripping off the Band-Aid, Mom.
No.
He tells her that Agnes wants her home, But she says she has connections keeping her there. Like she's being a kept woman. Like her boyfriend is her
A
sugar
Nazi.
daddy, Nazi guy. He's a colonel.
Oh, it's really bad. He walks her home and he's still trying to talk her out
Well,
of it, but you can.
mom, she tells him about, so he's like, she's like, don't you want to sever all ties and be free and whatever?
He's kind of fascinated by it,
A
which
little
is
bit. And
deeply
that's,
disturbing.
yes, it is. She sings along to a record playing in her boyfriend's sugar daddy's house. And she's singing along, and Hallam says he wants to take her home because she's not safe in Germany. And then she goes forward and kisses him.
On the
And
lips.
he doesn't stop her. And
No,
I
and in
just
fact,
wrote,
she's kind of into it. I do too. Like, what in the actual? Oh,
why?
whoa, Hallam Head been so
Why?
good. What
Why are
the
you
fuck is happening?
ruining Hallam?
I don't know.
Everything Percy touches turns to shit.
It's so
She's the
true.
worst kind of Midas touch. It's shit touch. And I'm
Oh.
so pissed off because Hallam was my favorite character in season one.
Absolutely, he was mine too.
And
I
his relationship with
just,
Agnes, although regardless of if it was flawed or not, they loved each other.
yeah.
And why are you fucking throwing that away for Percy? Oh wait, no. Oh, she puts
I'm gonna make worse noises as this shit goes along. I'm
the.
telling you, it's just like the worst concept ever.
And then she leaves and she goes back into the house and Percy's there, left there
Oh.
thinking. The servants now show each other more respect and are civil again, which is good. Chamberlain shows off the signed agreement that is symbolic of peace in our time. Remember that? Yeah. And the family is still concerned a bit about war, but they're kind of like putting it off for now. And that's the end of the episode. So we're off to a great start. We're off to a start.
Off to a start. It's just yikes, it's so bad. What were your best parts of this episode?
Adorable baby.
My best part.
The war environment. I mean, we're seeing a little bit of what it was like right before the war, which is
In my day,
interesting.
yeah,
Yeah.
it is
I put
interesting.
Agnes question mark because she shows a lot of, I feel she has changed for the better in some ways. And it's shown in little things like how she cares for Pamela and how she's more strong now in many ways. Like, I mean, she almost died in childbirth and she's up and at him and she's like trying to be her best self. And her also trying to like settle things downstairs. I like that. Beryl and Spargo, I think, are kind of cute. That's nice. I find Beryl more engaging than Ivy ever was, because at least she has a backstory. And yeah, she's cool. And Spargo has definitely changed for the better. I will say that. I think that at the end of season one, they took a step in the right direction by like getting him off of the parasite that is Percy and making him his own person, making his own decisions. Not that he wasn't before, but he's making better decisions that are less fascist, and so we love that. It's literally the bare minimum, but you know,
We'll take
at least
it.
he's not actively a part of the fascist regime.
Yeah.
That's again a step in the right direction, I suppose.
All right.
Most
My
my best parts.
best parts, I love Mr. Amanji.
Yeah,
I just think he is
sure.
great.
I still think he goes a little bit far in this episode, but.
I can see him being angry, and I can see if you were wounded. And what he even says, he's like, you, this was the world to end all wars. We some people sacrificed everything, and and that includes Miss Thackeray's husband, and these are people that it's not like it's some remote intellectual concept. This is a very real thing for him. So I forgive him doing target practice in the backyard. I like Beryl. I think Beryl's a good addition to the household. Hallam gets a question mark for me because I really,
There are
really love,
parts that I
there's
like.
so much of Hallam in this episode that I like, and then his responding to that kiss, like, and he doesn't like really
He
respond,
doesn't push
but
her
he does,
off, though.
right, exactly, and
That's the problem.
that's
And
the
it goes on
problem.
for a while.
Yeah, true, and it's upsetting. And for sure, it gets a question mark for me because there are things I really like about for sure in this episode too. I think he's really trying to do the right thing. He's standing up for Johnny, blah, blah, blah. But he also is doing stupid shit. So he's a question mark. What were your worst parts?
No caps. Percy and Hallam kissing. No.
That's more specific than just Percy, which is what I had, but
No.
go ahead.
No. Absolutely not. Completely ruined Talon's character. What the fuck? No. I disagree wholeheartedly. As soon as that happened, I knew this season would be shit, and I was so disappointed. I thought they maybe would dig themselves out of this grave, but no.
No, they seem
Anyway,
to be embracing it. It's bad.
which I hate. That poor monkey, that really does suck for that monkey. Blanche for being so, I've said this many times, but tactless. And or it's just it's so
Oh,
odd to
it's such a deliberate choice for Blanche. I mean,
it is, but
Ivy was tactless because she didn't know better. Blanche is tactless because she thinks it's cool.
I think that my problem with Blanche is that she never asks permission, she asks forgiveness. And
Sometimes you need to do both.
yes. And so I think that her automatically being like, well, I'm gonna stay in your house now. It's like, what?
Yeah,
When did we ever say that was gonna
the
happen?
presumption is just terrible.
That sucks to me. And her like being like, I'm gonna clear out my dead like half
Sister's
sister's
desk.
desk without anyone's permission. We find out next episode that she's like the literary executor of of the estate. So there is some authority there, but we don't know that in this episode. And her just doing it is and upsetting Mr. Almondji is unnecessary.
Correct.
And the pacing. I mentioned last season that the pacing is breakneck most of the time. But that was like overall for the most part. It wasn't necessarily, well, I mean, it was within the episode as well, but it was a little bit easier to follow in the first season. But in this season, there's like even like before the title dropped, there was just so much shit going on. And yes, we have to recenter ourselves in the universe, but there's just too much. Like they could have paced it a lot better.
And they chose not
And
to.
the thing is, they've doubled the length of the season. It's a 6-episode season instead of a 3-episode season like last season. But so they could have slowed it down a little bit. But they
But
chose
no.
not to. They decided, let's do the exact same thing and
And
let's
pack
just
more
keep
shit
doing
in.
it.
Yeah,
Even
pack more
though
shit in.
most of the shit is unnecessary.
Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah.
All right, so Percy, of course, is a worst part for me. Percy and Hallam kissing, but I see it as Percy's idea, so it's still just Percy at this
No,
point.
I think Hallam had too much.
Anyway, Nazis, something you forgot to include
Oh
here.
yes, Nazis as well.
Nazis, bad. Hitler, bad, bad. Blanche, and I gave her a question mark because there are things I like about her character, and I think,
Yeah, later on, but not this
Yeah, but
episode.
in this episode is that whole kind of, I just don't like you
It
and you're presumptuous and whatever. So
also, if
yeah,
I don't,
overbearing, I think is the word I was
yeah,
looking for.
if I don't say it, I'm Nazis are always the worst part.
They should be always the worst part. So good. Glad to hear that.
Same with Hitler.
Good. Grade.
B minus.
Yeah, it's a B minus.
Yeah, no.
It's just not great.
No.
It is not great,
No.
but
It's not the worst. There are some still pretty okay things about it. It has
right.
not gone off the deep end quite yet.
No.
However, we are
No.
not going in the direction I wanted.
No.
Not at all.
No. And yet we have so much of this season to come. So we've got a lot more to talk about. And we hope that you join us. And
Cheers.
cheers.